Well, yes, friends, following that classic, somewhat of a gospel song by none other than Whisperin' Po' Boy, Bill Anderson, and of course the king of country music, Roy Acuff, we are once again back here. I'd like to welcome you all back into the third and final hour of this Way Back with Johnny's 100th anniversary of the Grand Ole Opry celebration today, and remind you all that we are still coming to you via the Woodlock Ranch and Studios in Cornwall, Ontario. We can also be proudly aired over CFRC 101.9 FM from the Limestone City of Kingston, Ontario. And I would also like to share that we can be heard throughout the Durham and Greater Toronto area at our home on the internet at www.oshawarocks.com, as well as YouTube at Way Back with Johnny Woodlock on YouTube. With all that shared, I would like to once again share a double feature and a tribute of sorts to a country music icon. When it comes to legendary characters of the Grand Ole Opry, we often think of Minnie Pearl. As Roy Acuff used to say, Cousin Minnie Pearl. Well, anyway, with that mentioned, we would like to pay tribute to the lady that was born Sarah Ophelia Colley, married Henry Cannon, and forever became Cousin Minnie Pearl to us country music fans. She first came to the Opry in November 1940, not thinking that her life was about to change, but change it did. She became one of the most beloved icons of the Opry stage and during the past 100 years. So I'd like to share a memory of her today with a little clip of hers, and then we're going to hear an all-time classic tribute song called Minnie Pearl Said Howdy, and then we'll play some of her comedy. With that, I would like to welcome y'all to the Way Back with Johnny show and the third and final hour of today's program.
As I sit here on the stage of the Opry and look around this empty auditorium, I have the feeling that I would never be alone, because to live forever in the hearts of our friend is never to die.
Minnie Pearl was a shy, funny country lady. She belongs to our hearts, there is no maybe. At first bashful when she arrived on the scene, friend Roy Acuff helped her achieve her life's dreams. Miss Minnie said howdy to the Wabash Cannonball. The price tags on her hats we sure do recall. And when Miss Minnie said howdy, there was no doubt Minnie Pearl was the funniest entertainer in the house. Rod Brassfield accented the funny in Minnie. Tennessee Ernie knew she was a true winner. Minnie helped and guided many new performers. She was so proud to be here, as we was of her. Miss Minnie said howdy to the Wabash Cannonball. The price tags on her hats we sure do recall. And when Miss Minnie said howdy, there was no doubt Minnie Pearl was the funniest entertainer in the house. A pearl culture and country music and laughter, Miss Minnie said howdy y'all before and after. She told of her hometown of Grinder Switch. Miss Minnie said howdy a million times, you bet. Miss Minnie said howdy to the Wabash Cannonball. The price tags on her hats we sure do recall. And when Miss Minnie said howdy, there was no doubt Minnie Pearl was the funniest entertainer in the house. We always loved it when Miss Minnie said howdy. She was the bright, shining star of the Grand Ole Opry.
Right now you're in for a real treat, because this is the grand lady of the Grand Ole Opry, Cousin Minnie Pearl.
Howdy, buddy. Howdy. I'm to be here. Wilson! Well, we got them tonight, ain't we? Lord have mercy, I never seen so many folks in my life. Boy, we had a time today. Uncle Nabob said that him and Aunt Ambrosie was really in a holiday mood. He said that Aunt Ambrosie shot off a mouth and he blew his top and then the fireworks started. Well, what happened was Uncle Nabob celebrated with a fifth. He always does. But what happened was we got to talking about these rockets that they fire off into space, and Uncle Nabob took a notion that he wanted to go get him a rocket and go off into space. Well, we thought when he said he wanted to get a rocket that he was about as high as he could get without a rocket. So he went off down to Simp Sewell's place. Simp Sewell's a fella got a fireworks place there in Grinder Switch. And Uncle Nabob went down there and got him the biggest rocket he could find. Oh, he must have paid $4.95 for it. It is a whopper. And he come back over there at the picnic where we's all at. And so he is going to get Brother to help him. So they strapped that rocket on to Uncle Nabob's back. And Uncle Nabob's all ready to go. And somebody give the countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2. About that time, Brother lit the fuse. And woo! You never seen such a roar and smoke and fire and everything. And when it cleared away, Uncle Nabob was drilled 4 feet in the ground. They tied the firecracker on upside down. Well, I tell you, we had a time. I never seen the beat in my life. But you know Uncle Nabob, bless his heart, he's had a hard time. Aunt Ambrosie decided last night she's really going to fix him. She know them fellas is going to keep him out late. So she got one of these Halloween false faces, you know, like the young'uns wear at Halloween. She put that on, put a sheet all up over her head and hid out there by the bushes where she knowed he's coming by. Sure enough, long about midnight, Uncle Nabob come a-weaving in there and come up by that bush, and she jumped out and said, "Boo! I'm the devil!" Uncle Nabob said, "Well, shake hands with me. I married your sister." But I want to tell you one thing. I done something today I haven't ever done before. Now, y'all don't believe this. I've been telling y'all stories down here for 24 years, going on 25, and I want you to know this is the truth. Today, for the first time, I wore some slacks. I wore some of them pants, you know, like the young girls wear, you know. That kind. And I tell you right now, you know what kind of pants I'm talking about. You know, them toreador. Well, that's what I done. I tore a door in the back of the ones I had on. No, I had on them. Oh, I look good, I'm telling you. Well, I look pretty good coming towards you, but I didn't look too good retreating, I'll tell you. Look like a worm's eye view of a hammock. But I tell you, I told Hezzy, my feller. He said, "This is the first time I ever seen you in a pair of slacks." I said, "Well, I'm right proud of myself." I said, "I got these way back in the winter. They're on sale." I said, "Don't you think I had some foresight?" He said, "Well, you'd have had more foresight if you'd have looked in the mirror and seen a hindsight." Bye now. See you next week.
Yes, friends, once again, it's that time in the program to pay tribute to the East Coast of Canada with our tribute to the East Coast legends of the Maritimes. With that mentioned, I'd like to send out some songs to our dear friends, Peter and Myrna Trenholm in Pugwash, Nova Scotia. For them today, it's going to be the legendary singing ranger, Hank Snow. From Hank, it'll be a song that saved him from being fired from the Grand Opry way back in 1950s. And this is going to be a 1957 version of the Singing Rangers classic, "I'm Moving On." Now, of course, the story goes that he was being picked over for elimination from the Opry, but because this song became an instant hit, he became a Grand Ole Opry star. With that, we'll pay tribute to Hank, and then we'll follow with our good friend Michael T. Wall, who I understand played on the Grand Ole Opry back in the day. Not officially, but he did perform on the Opry with his guitar, so he says. And it's going to be from Michael T. Wall, a recent recording called Back in 56. And then we'll wrap up with Lloyd Snow and his classic called From Newfoundland to Nashville. With that, I'd like to send out a very happy hello to all the East Coast listeners listening in on this Way Back with Johnny show. Welcome in, friends, and happy listening.
Grand Ole Opry, starring the singing ranger, Hank Snow.
That big eight-wheeler rolling down the track, mean just to love him, Daddy ain't coming back. If I'm moving on, I'll soon be gone. You are flying too high for my little old sky, so I'm moving on. Mr. Fireman, won't you please listen to me, cause I got a pretty mama in Tennessee. Keep moving me on, keep rolling on. Just shovel the coal if this rattle a roll, and keep moving me on. Move on, Chubby. Mr. Engineer, take that throttle in hand, or this rattle is the fastest in the southern land. Keep moving me on, keep rolling on. You're gonna ease my mind, put me there on time, and keep rolling on. I've a warned you, baby, from time to time, but you just wouldn't listen to pay me no mind. No, I'm moving on, I'm rolling on. You've broken your vow, and it's all over now, so I'm moving on. Take some corn now. Someday, baby, when you've had your way, you're gonna watch your daddy, but your daddy will say, keep moving on, stay the way too long. I'm through with you, too bad you're blue, keep moving on.
A dollar way back then, and a handshake was a bond between two friends. Drugs were something doctors used just to cure the sick. That's the way things looked in 56. Mom and Dad, bless their souls, were still alive. Television didn't rule the family life. No one ever heard of AIDS or teenage sex. That's the way things looked in 56. And rock and roll was new with Jerry Lee. And I was just a country boy, they call me Michael T. Walking home from school with a lovely girl named Kit. That's the way things looked in 56. No one ever knew of acid rain. We either rode a pickup or a train. And we went to church on Sunday just for God and Christ the King. That's the way things looked the way back then. Johnny Cash was my hero and still is. I even brought my first guitar because of his. While Luther played a mean guitar, he taught me how to pick. That's the way things looked in 56. And rock and roll was new with Jerry Lee. And I was just a country boy, I had a lot of dreams. Walking home from school with a lovely girl named Kit. That's the way things looked in 56. That's the way things looked back in 1956.
He was just a small-time singer in a small-time country band, well known by the people in the towns of Newfoundland. But his sights were set on Nashville, that was the place to be. He grew tired of going nowhere, singing songs about the sea. He took his dreams and his old guitar in his custom Chevy van. Said he'd make his way to Nashville, playing bars and one-night stands. He'd make his name in country music, and it wouldn't take too long. And there was no doubt about it, he could sing a country song. But it's a long, long way from Newfoundland to Nashville, Tennessee. Somebody should have told him it don't come that easily. For all the men who went before him trying to make themselves a name, so few has ever made it to the Country Hall of Fame. Said all he ever wanted was to see his name in lights, just to be a star in Nashville and sing songs at night. Years went by and we all listened for the songs that never came. I hear he's pumping gas and diesel at a truck stop south of Maine. But it's a long, long way from Newfoundland to Nashville, Tennessee. He found out the hard way, it don't come that easily. Well, he might have stayed here singing all his songs about the sea. It's a long, long way from Newfoundland to Nashville, Tennessee. It's a long, long way from Newfoundland to Nashville, Tennessee.
Hello friends, this is Michael T. Wall, the singing Newfoundlander, and you are listening to my good friend Johnny Woodlock right here on Way Back over CFRC 101.9 Kingston, Ontario, Canada.
And our singing Newfoundlander from the Isle of Newfoundland.
Now friends, I'd like to pay tribute to the good old high lonesome sound of the Grand Ole Opry and the genre we all know and remember today as bluegrass music. As we pay tribute to a segment I like to call The Grass Is Always Bluer, this is where we like to salute the bluegrass pioneers and legends of old. And first of all, I would like to also make mention that Bill Monroe first came to the Grand Ole Opry in October 1939. He went on to form the genre we know and love today as bluegrass music, but from 1963 we're going to hear the legendary father of bluegrass and his all-time classic called Can't You Hear Me Calling. Then we'll follow with the legendary banjo player who sadly was murdered in 1973 following his appearance on the Opry. That was on November 10th of 1973. From string beat, it'll be a classic called Little Pink. And then we'll wrap up with one of the legends who are as iconic to the Grand Ole Opry as the opera itself. And that, of course, is Louis Marshall Jones, forever remembered as everybody's favorite grandpa of country music, Grandpa Jones, and his all-time classic called Liza Jane. With that, let's turn back the years to the good old high lonesome sound of that bluegrass music that was, yes, first introduced to the Grand Ole Opry in 1938 when Bill Monroe first stepped onto the Opry stage. With that, welcome in, friends.
Bill Monroe and his bluegrass boys, Can't You Hear Me Calling? Here's Bill.
Days are long, the nights are lonely, since you left me all alone. I worry so, my little darling, I worry so since you've been gone. Sweetheart of mine, can you hear me calling? Come in your time, I love you best. It's treating you. Me never forget the night we parted. How big mistake had caused it all. If you come back, sunshine will follow. If you stay away, that will be my fault. Be hard in mind.
Fine fellow. Well, I guess one of the tallest banjo pickers in captivity, String Bean. Make him welcome, if you would, please.
How sweet it is.
You're a long time making up your mind. Yeah, truly understand that you love another man. How can your little heart be mine? I wish to the Lord I'd never been born. Died when I was young. Then I never would have seen your two blue eyes. We heard your clattering tongue. Oh, come a little pink and tell me what you think. You're a long time making up your mind. Yeah, truly understand that you love another man. How can your little heart be mine? Suitcase and head that away. I'm going to find my pretty little pink, and I'm going to stay. Well, come a little pink and tell me what you think. You're a long time making up your mind. Yeah, truly understand that you love another man. How can your little heart be mine?
Here's an unusual act that I never seem to cease tiring of, and I know that you don't either, because he does such a tremendous job, and he's just getting ready to run at this microphone and really do you a show. He's got Miss Ramona along with him here tonight. Let's make welcome Grandpa Jones. Here he is.
Said the fiddler sing. Took all the girls in all this world are good like Fanny Jane.
Fanny Jane's the sweetest thing, and everywhere she goes, everywhere she puts her foot, a little flower grows. Fiddle-diddle-doo, said the piper, yidda-ding, said the fiddler sing.
Of all the girls in all this world, it's good like Fanny Jane.
Well, dimple cheeks and eyes are blue and lips like sugar cane. Lord, have mercy on my soul, I love Fanny Jane. Ring, as big as Old Rock Mountain for the hand of Fanny Jane.
Fanny Jane, Fanny Jane, I'll fix her neath the pines. Way down in the pine woods where the moonlight gets to shine.
Blink, 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 said the harper, fiddly dilly doo, said the piper, yeet a ding, said the fiddler sing.
Of all the girls in all this world, it's not like Fanny Jane.
Yeah.
as big as old Rock Mountain for the hand of Piney Jane. Said the harper, feely lily doo, said the fancy jilly lily, said the same. Oh, all the girls in all this world is good like that.
Hi, I'm Rhonda Vincent, the queen of bluegrass music, and you're listening to my good friend Johnny Woodlock right here at the Wayback Show. You take care and blessings to you.
Did it look like old Kentucky when the gates swung open wide? That the good Lord's got you playing somewhere up there every night. Is the grass any bluer on the other side?
Yes, friends, following those bluegrass favorites of the long ago years of the Grand Ole Opry, we're once again back here on the Way Back with Johnny. And with that mentioned, I would like to pay tribute to the second half of this great interview with Craig Shelburne, historian and journalist who wrote a book called 100 Years of the Grand Ole Opry, a celebration of artists, the fans, and the home of country music. Now that came out in April this year, on April 15th, and it's a wonderful book. He sent me a beautiful signed copy of it, which I cherish, and I highly recommend it to all the fans of the Grand Ole Opry. With that, I would like to pay tribute to the second half of this interview with Craig. And then following this interview with Craig, we will hear from an all-time song that was written by Don Gibson, but became a true standard in country music, best remembered as a Patsy Cline song. However, yes, we will hear from Don Gibson doing it, called Sweet Dreams. With that, we'll welcome y'all into the Way Back with Johnny show here on CFRC and www.oshawarocks.com. Here now is Craig Shelburne. So, you also hear about the Opry, we're mentioning dressing rooms. Like, Mr. Acos was always open, but I've heard in recent years that some of them keep the doors closed. The bigger
stuff. Not too often, unless, yeah. So when you go backstage at the Opry, it's a long hallway of dressing rooms.
Yes.
And they're numbered. So 1, 2, and 3 are kind of on the way to the stage. 2, I'm remembering this right, 2 is usually the bluegrass room. So you'll see Ricky Skaggs in there. Well, Dillian Vincent or Rhonda Vincent, and they're just in there tuning up and playing fast where they go on stage.
Oh, nice.
And you can gather around and listen. They don't mind it if you just kind of pop into them warming up. I think they actually like it. And then, yeah, most of the time, the Opry dressing doors are open. And I haven't seen too many clothes.
Okay.
Unless,
okay.
You know, someone's putting their, getting ready for the show. They got to get their rhinestone jacket on.
So where can our listeners go to purchase your book?
Yeah, that's available anywhere you would buy a book. So it's on Amazon. There's a pretty cool edition on Target.com if you wanted to do a mail-in. It's a black cover. That really makes the roses and the rhinestone pop. So the Opry Gift Shop has them for sale if you want to log on to Opry.com and see what they've got. And yeah, it's pretty much everywhere you would buy a book.
Okay, and is there an official website for it?
Not for the book itself.
It's
all part of the Opry. Yeah, I suppose Opry.com would be the best place.
Okay, sure. And there's two more legends I'd like to ask you about the history of, is Cousin Minnie Pearl, but also Grandpa Jones.
Yeah, those two individuals are so well recognized and associated with the Opry. And I obviously knew them, you know, as entertainers, but I didn't really know the path that they took to get to the Opry. And Minnie Pearl especially was basically at a career dead end when she came to the Opry. She nothing seemed to be going right. She was living with her mom, and she did it like a little comedy show at a banking convention in her hometown. And one of the bankers recommended her for another banker convention, and then someone at that convention called the Opry and said, "This lady's funny. You should give her a chance." So they did. They put her on late thinking, well, if she bombs, you know, it's no big deal. Most people will be asleep. But she didn't.
She did everything but bomb.
She charmed everybody. Like, the letters flooded in. So she became a member. I believe it was November 1940 that she joined the cast.
I see.
And Grandpa Jones was a young man when he joined. You know, he had the fake mustache and the fake eyebrows to look like Grandpa. And he grew into that role. You know, by the 90s, he looked like a grandpa.
That's right. And he was everybody's grandpa.
He was funny, too. He had a lot of... There were a lot of stories about Grandpa not being able to remember people's names, or he couldn't always hear what people were saying, and just like, you know, just like your grandpa sometimes. It's just, he's just funny for being who he is.
Yes, for sure.
He introduced Martina McBride to the stage as Matilda McBride. So.
Yes?
It's funny and cute, and you can't be mad because it's Grandpa Jones.
That's right, exactly. He was a legend for sure, yes. And so, and during this writing of this book, was there any legends that you wish you had have been able to talk to? I know, like, my own career, there always was.
Yeah, that's a great question. There's so many. There's, you know, people that, like, Jim Ed Brown would have been a great one to talk to for this book.
Yes.
Because he loved the Opry so much, and there were some oral histories that he recorded that I drew from, but it was pretty clear to me how loved he was by the fellow cast members. He cared about the Opry. So, yeah, Jim Ed, and what an entertainer, too. Very, very charming, and he had this red jacket that he wore several times at the Opry, and he'd just stroll out there and deliver.
I was lucky enough to have met him 15 years ago, and he was everything you'd want from an entertainer.
That era of people, they had to communicate through radio, you know, or in personal appearances. There wasn't a lot of television when artists like that were coming up, so they had to convey that excitement and their enthusiasm when you couldn't actually see them. But he always just had that extra level of energy when he took days. It really translated well. The opera audience, they loved it.
Yes, that's true. And so is there anything you'd like to add to this interview of your own thoughts? Or
yeah, sure. I really had a blast writing it. It was special to me to have a chance to ask all the questions of people, and it really surprised me how many people got emotional. They would just begin to, you know, cry and think about going to the Opry when they were kids with their family. A lot of these artists had been to the Opry just as country fans when they were kids, and that kind of sparked the idea for them to make the Opry a goal as they, you know, began to pursue their careers. So over 100 years, there's just been so many artists that have stepped on that stage. It's just unbelievable the talent that has been on that stage and on that show.
That's true. Yeah. And like Janie Seeley once said to me in an interview I got to do with her, you're either Opry or you're not. But a lot of us that grew up, we were either the Wheeling, West Virginia Jamboree, or we were the Grand Ole Opry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Janie said something like that to me. She said, you're either Opry or not. As for me, I'm Team Opry. I thought, me too. So whenever I get to talk about the opera, I think of myself Team Opry because I love it. I love being out there and I love to share it with people.
For sure. And so I know Will the Circle Be Unbroken was a theme song of the Grand Ole Opry for years.
Yeah, you hear that song out there a lot. It's kind of the unofficial family reunion song of country music.
Exactly.
It opens shows, it closes shows, it's sung at funerals, it's sung at celebrations. Yeah, that song is very crucial to the opera history.
Yeah.
Especially with the circle motif, because they took a circle of wood from the Ryman, which is where the opera was from 1943 to 1974, and moved it from that stage to the stage of the brand new opera house. So when people step into that circle, they are literally stepping into history when they perform.
That's true. And you've also stepped into that circle because I've heard you on the Opry different times introduced.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, the night the book came out, they allowed me to be a guest announcer. So stepped into that circle and took my picture before the curtain came up and came out and introduced a band called Home Free. And
it yes.
was nervous. I was nervous and exhilarated and overwhelmed. And I just thought, wow, this just a dream I never allowed myself to dream. I never thought it would ever be a reason for me to
exactly.
be part of the Opry podcast. And I've done that. I've been back out there 7 or 8 times, and I'm not nervous anymore. I'm just grateful for the opportunity to share the book with people who
for
love country music as much as I do.
Yes. And I guess I have a couple more questions, but I understand that today I might edit this out, but I know Johnny Cash and Hank Williams are often referred to as Opry members or legendary icons of the Opry, but they were also fired from the Opry, I understand.
Yeah, once you're in the Opry, you're always referred to as an Opry member, but in those days in the 50s and 60s, you were expected to play a certain number of shows
yes.
every year, because it's a cast, and so like if people in the cast don't show up, it really affects the show. So, yeah, with Hank Williams, he was given numerous warnings, and he just, on his last warning, he failed to show up, and that was it. He was told he needed to be there, or else that would be the consequence.
Exactly.
So, yeah, he was, yeah, what a sad story. The Hank Williams story is just so sad.
Yes,
Johnny Cash,
is.
Yeah, he took his career took off, and he, you know, there was a famous exit, which is in the book, but...
Is it? Okay, I was wondering if it was, yes, because I haven't, I'll be honest with you, Craig, I haven't read the whole book, but I was wondering if you had mentioned about Cash's exit or not, yes.
Yeah, it was, it's briefly in there, yeah. Okay. And not that it's less important than anything else, but you've got 100 years of history, you've really got a condensed story. So
yes, you do.
I think writing, I realized, like, this, the book moves fast. It can be daunting to see a title that has 100 years of the Opry. But as I was writing it, I kind of realized the main story, the main character of this story is the Opry itself.
Very true.
You know, you've got Johnny Cash in there, you've got Patsy Cline and Bill Anderson and Jim Ed Brown. But once you think of the Opry as the main character, the story really started to come to life for me. That's the through line of the whole 100 years of this radio show. All these characters come across the stage. Some have big dramatic acts. Some are there just kind of championing it for 50 years. There's not one single Opry story. You know, there's like hundreds of Opry stories, but it all revolves around this radio show.
Yes.
It's a powerful thing to think that it's going to always be the world's longest running radio show. There's never going to be another show to beat it.
That's true. And like Conway Twitty often sang, the grandest lady of them all was the Grand Opry.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, Conway was never a member, but he loved the Opry.
Exactly.
Loretta, of course, was a member.
Yes.
Yeah, there are several stories about her in this book.
Oh, nice.
Can't tell the story of the Opry without Loretta Lynn.
And so, I guess in wrapping up, what song can I play for you following this interview?
Oh, play Sweet Dreams. Play the Patsy Cline version or the Don Gibson version.
Okay, will do.
Those are both great versions.
Yes, yep. For sure. For
we'll
sure.
Play them both, because people love them.
That's right, and it's a true part of the Opry legacy as well, especially Patsy Cline, yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, with that, Craig, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and I hope to do it again in the near future.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me.
And good luck with your book, and I know it's going to be a bestseller if it hasn't already become one.
Yeah, it's been fun film at the Opry. People line up, and I'm happy to find every last one.
Well, that's great, and I want to thank you also for that book that you sent. It's it means a lot to me, yes.
Good, yeah. It's an important document of history. I'm glad that you have one and you can enjoy it.
Yes. Well, you take care, and God bless you. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Start my life anew instead of having sweet dreams about you. You don't love me, it's plain. I should know you'll never wear my name. Instead of having sweet dreams about you.
Yes, friends, I do hope you all enjoyed that visit with our good friend Craig Shelburne, journalist and author of the Grand Ole Opry's 100th anniversary centennial book. Now, I would like to once again send out a very special dedication to a man I have had the honor of having on our program several times over the years. and who will forever be remembered as the true auctioneer of country music. Yes, that, of course, is Leroy Van Dyke, a living legend in our music world, who celebrated his 96th birthday on the 4th of October. So for Leroy, it's going to be a classic from the Grand Ole Opry's golden era, and one of my all-time favorite songs that he recorded called Anne of a Thousand Days. With that, here now is our birthday boy, and I'd just like to wish him a happiest 96th birthday to our living legend, Leroy Van Dyke. Here he is, friends.
The city of Nashville, Tennessee is the home of the Grand Ole Opry, and the Grand Ole Opry is the home of the world's greatest singers of country music. Standing by to meet you are Leroy Van Dyke. Now to sing for you, Leroy Van Dyke.
This one is Anne of a Thousand Days. And for a thousand days I've loved you, for a thousand nights I've thought you were mine. It's hard to realize things could be the way they seem. I'll never get over the shock it's been to me to find out after all this time. Those thousand days have been a horrible dream. And of a thousand days I've loved you, that was my only sin. The hurt's so deep, and though you weep, how can I take you back again? I waited late in life to marry you, Anne. You were the only girl I ever wanted, the only girl I ever cared the least bit about. When I see the friends who warned me I didn't know what I was getting into, how in the world am I going to face them the moment that they find out? When we got married, it took all my savings to buy you the fine house you wanted and that brand new car. I gave you nearly all of every paycheck. I just kept enough for cigarettes. I set up charge accounts in all the department stores, and you run them up so high. How will I ever clear away all those debts? And of a thousand days I've loved you, that was my only sin. The hurt's so deep, and though you weep, how can I take you back again? Lately you've been going out alone. You said you were just playing bridge with the girls, but there's something going on behind my back. Night after night I sit by myself, watching TV, hoping all the things I'm hearing just couldn't possibly be a fact. Tonight, I couldn't stand it any longer. I followed you, saw you turn into the park, run into his arms. And as he kissed you, I watched your fingers at the back of his head. I tried to look away, but somehow I just stood there dumbfounded and so sick inside. I wished that I was dead. And of a thousand days I've loved you, that was my only sin. It hurts so deep, and though you weep, how can I take you back again? We've come to the end of the line, Anne. Now you're pleading and screaming, what's gonna happen to me? Well, all I can do before I leave and take it on the lam is to quote you those immortal words that Rhett Butler spoke to Scarlett O'Hara. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a. And of a thousand days I've loved you, that was my only sin. It hurts so deep, and though you weep, I can't take you back again.
I'm at 25 to get 30, now 35, 35 and now 40, who'd have been at 40? Oh, hi, this is Leroy Van Dyke, the auctioneer. You're listening to The Way Back on CFRC 101.9 FM. Stay with us, I know you're going to hear something you like.
I love you, but we're strangers when we meet.
Now, friends, I do hope y'all enjoyed that classic visit to the Grand Ole Opry from years ago of our birthday boy, Leroy Van Dyke, who celebrated his 96th birthday yesterday, the 4th of October. With that mentioned, I would like to once again pay tribute to our Way Back Song of the Week. With that shared, George Morgan, the father of Lori Morgan, was the last person to ever perform on the Grand Ole Opry in 1974 at the world-famous Ryman Auditorium before closing it until the 90s. With that mentioned, George did a wonderful version of a song called The Ballad of the Grand Ole Opry back in 1968, and I would like to pay tribute to that song now as our Way Back Song of the Week. We'll be back following this with one more classic song and then send us all home. With that, happy listening, friends, and yes, this is our Way Back Song of the Week.
As the lights were turned off and the curtain was closed and all of the songs had been sung at the Grand Ole Opry, I sat there and wondered how this great country show had begun. Did the great one above us gather some tears with some heartaches he took from life's page and mix it together with laughter and joy and sprinkle it over the stage? Did he speak to the hearts of all the great stars? Did he help them put soul in their song? And maybe he guided their footsteps in life and showed them just where they belong. Could it be he was thinking one Saturday night of something that we all could share? So he started the opera for you and for me, and he put this great show on the air. Did he know there'd be happiness there on the stage? Did he know men would cry in the wings? Is he pleased with the smiles on the faces of thousands as each star steps out there and sings? And each Saturday night over 40-some years, folks have lined up for blocks just to see how the great one has planned the best show in the land on the stage of the Grand Ole Opry.
Now, friends, I would like to once again pay tribute to a song that is going out in memory of the legends we have lost over the years, past 100 years in country music and the Grand Ole Opry. Now, it's going to be a song that was performed on the Grand Ole Opry last week. I might get in trouble for airing it, but let's try it anyway. But it's going to be a song by an inductee to the Grand Ole Opry in 2019 named Mark Wills. He did this song, as mentioned, the other day on the Grand Ole Opry last weekend. And that is a song called Phantom of the Opry, not to be confused with the Ronnie Prophet classic. This one is, yes, lovingly dedicated to all the Opry stars, whom have since gone home to be in the Opry in the sky with that. Here now, from the other night, is Mark Wills. We'll be back following this. Send us all home.
I want to play you a song real quick. We're going to send this one out to all of our Opry legends that have left us way too soon. It's one of my favorite songs, a little tune out here for you called Phantom of the Opry. Around midnight, shadow appears on center stage, sings a haunting melody, while a distant fiddle plays. The closer you can almost see a rhinestone shining in the dark.
here in my heart. He's the Phantom of the Opry, Grando spirit from the rhyming days. He just feels at home here. He don't really mean to haunt this place. Some say it's Hank or Lefty, or that Kentucky bluebird flying back again. No one knows for certain. We all know it's more than just the wind. Stage or from somewhere on the other side. He's the Phantom of the Opry, Grando spirit from the diamond days. He just feels at home here. He don't really mean to haunt this place. Around midnight, a shadow appears on center stage, sings a haunting melody, while a distant fiddle plays. A great big hand for the band. They never get to play that song. Hey, y'all come up here. I want everybody to see my boy.
Yes, friends, it's once again that time to say so long from the Way Back with Johnny show here on CFRC 119 FM and also www.oshawarocks.com. With that mentioned, we have been paying tribute to what marks the 100th anniversary of the Grand Ole Opry. I'd also like to thank my loyal listeners, you, for tuning into the program today. And I also mention that during the past 100 years, a lot has happened in both country music and also the Grand Ole Opry as well. But the heart and soul of the Opry still lives on today in Nashville, Tennessee. It is heard mostly every night, except for, I believe, Monday, over 650 WSM. It is as beloved as ever. With that mention, I would like to send us all home today with another all-time classic, this time by the legendary Porter Wagoner, and a song called Mother Church of Country Music. I do also want to mention that I would like to see the Grand Ole Opry one day in my life. In the meantime, we have been paying tribute to the Grand Ole Opry for the last 10 years on the Way Back with Johnny show and all its heroes and legends. And yes, I'm also a part of this family we call country music. And so with that mentioned, we are living the dream and being part of the country music since 2016. I would like to send us all home today with that classic by Porter Wagoner, and then we'll follow with a song borrowed from the NBC tribute, The Grand Ole Opry's 100 Years, which aired in March of this year, and it'll be the Opry theme song called Will the Circle Be Unbroken. With that, I would like to say so long from the Way Back with Johnny show, and may God bless each and every one of you till we meet next weekend. Same great time, same great station. So long for now, friends, and happy listening. And yes, happy 100th to the Grand Ole Opry.
The old clock hands are moving, so soon it's time to go. We got time for one more song before we close the show. Roy Acuff played his fiddle to a classic country tune, and Minnie Pearl made us laugh with her new hat in bloom. So if you like your music countryfied like me, you'd be next to heaven at the Grand Ole Opry.
Our mother church of country music will open up her doors and let you in. And you might think you've seen an angel, and surely you will find yourself a friend.
You know, there's so many country music legends grace the stage here at the Grand Ole Opry. I can almost see them now. Stars like Hank Williams, the great Tex Ritter, gentleman Jim Reeves, Patsy Cline, Cowboy Copas, Hawkshaw Hawkins, the great Red Foley, the Dixie Dewdrop, Uncle Dave Macon, the great Lester Flatt, Mr. Teardrop, Marty Robbins, the Kentucky Wonder, String Bean, the legendary Lefty Purcell, the Duke of Paducah, Rod Brasfield, Solemn Old Judge, the founder of the Grand Ole Opry, and the great Ernest Tubb.
Our mother church of country music will open up her doors and let you in. And you might think you've seen an angel, and surely you will find yourself a friend. Surely you will find yourself a friend.
Bye.
it's time for the tall pines to pine, and the pawpaws to pause, and the bumblebees to bumble all around. The grasshopper hops, and the eavesdropper drops, while gently the old cow slips away. This is a solemn old judge, George D. Hay, saying good night, good morning, and lots of good luck, everybody.
Another show is over, another day gone by, with good friends all around me. How the time did fly.
Howdy, friends and listeners. This here is your old host with most, Johnny Whitlock, reporting for Way Back with Johnny over this great channel. The previous show does not represent anything associated with the channel heard on. It is a sole associate of Whitlock Ranch Studios, Cornwall, Ontario. With that, have a great day, and we'll catch y'all next week. So long, friends.
It's hard to find the words I want to say, but friends, I'll try. God bless you all and keep you till we meet again. Goodbye.